This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between, it's hour two, the B Block on a Tuesday night. This is the show with Clayton McKee on Cube Talk America. I am your humble and gracious host, Clayton McKee, ladies and gentlemen.
Both of those things?
Both those things. Humble
at the
and
same
gracious.
Time?
It's difficult. Wow. It's a lot. Well, you too, Cat Carlson. We're trying to stop
fucking flies.
Things flying in the air, whatever the hell they are.
Airborne insects need to die.
Well, that's wow. Accelerated.
At a rapid velocity.
Sitting to my left is Cat Carlson at the end of the conference table. That is Marnie Ryer. But it's really difficult to see Marnie. She's wearing her camouflage sweats. She also maybe looked like the Marnie Bomber. Which I thought was
actually, and Dame Edna. What the hell?
I didn't think of the Dame Edna. No, I was okay. There's that.
Both those things.
Maybe.
I don't know that you should do
and,
the
and the Emperor. Kind
I can't
of.
Have you do the show, the whole show like that. That just doesn't. It doesn't. It's weird.
No, that's Darth Vader, the Emperor.
Oh, whatever. I was just trying to do something.
It's a whole different. I'm gonna go back to catch some flies.
Lord. Ooh. What the hell?
The wet fly?
Well, people just think we're randomly applauding. No.
No.
kill flying insects. Well,
don't die.
I'm going to take a sip of this first.
Please do. How was it?
Oh, lovely to get through this story. Well, when it comes to the middle finger, the police might need a little bit thicker skin.
Uh-oh.
A federal appeals court says a Michigan woman's constitutional rights were violated when she was handed a speeding ticket after giving the finger to a suburban Detroit officer back in 2017. The decision means a lawsuit by Deborah Cruz Galias can proceed in a 3-0 decision, a 3-0 decision. 3-0. That sounds more like a sports score. In a 3-0 decision Wednesday, the court said Taylor officer Matthew Menard, quote, should have known better, even if the driver was rude. Menard stopped Cruz and wrote her a ticket for a lesser violation. But when that stop was over, oh my God.
Don't die. When the stop was over, we don't know what happened.
When the stop was over, Cruz raised her middle finger. Minard pulled her over again and changed the ticket to a more serious speeding offense. Cruz sued, saying her free speech rights and her rights against God, her rights against unreasonable seizure were violated. Oh. God damn it. These Triscuits are fabulous.
Don't eat the Triscuits.
Good Lord.
Put the Triscuits down.
Have a grape.
I'm going to.
Please.
While you do a story.
Danger. Danger. Oh. Well, police say a man shot himself in the foot Tuesday morning after he threw his shoe at a cockroach.
Stop it.
It's true. The 50-year-old man apparently saw the bug from across the room, took off his shoe, and threw it at the nuisance. However, his revolver was still inside the shoe, discharged when it hit the ground, and the bullet fired, came back, and struck the man in the foot.
Oh my gosh.
The man who uses a wheelchair.
Well, that can't be
before
good.
And after the incident.
Yes.
This is a twofer.
Was inside of a home in the 18700 block of Albion Street, Detroit at the time of the accident. His condition is unknown as of Tuesday.
Oh.
He's probably hobbling.
The cockroach was fine.
Well, right. Those fuckers are going to live through anything, really.
The
absolutely.
Cockroach got away.
Yeah, no. The cockroach. No cockroaches were harmed in the making.
Apparently not.
At press time, the cockroach was fine.
And I find that shooting at insects is a little dramatic.
Right.
Come on.
Oh, but you know what I really want?
the salt gun for flies.
Yeah. I totally want that.
What's happening?
You've seen the commercials where you put salt in the little air rifle?
There's a little air gun that you put little table salt in, and so it fires out like this. It's like a shotgun spray, but of salt. And so then the fly that's over there that you're trying to kill can't get away because all these little salt pellets
bang, are, bang, bang.
Are just flying across the room at a rapid velocity.
Sure. That's pleasing.
But it's also, I mean, I love my electric...
fly swatter.
Oh, that electric fly swatter. I swear, that is just handy as hell. Where the hell did that...
I also kind of want to feel like Quick Draw McGraw with the,
Yeah, sure.
Come here,
sure,
fly.
Sure. Yeah.
I grew up playing a lot of Cowboys and Indians.
Right.
It's not very PC, but it was a lot of fun.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, back then.
I was great at being a cowboy.
Sure, right?
Right. Not so good at being an Indian.
Well, I just want to let you know what Tucson is.
Please tell me.
Tucson, Arizona.
You know what? I woke up this morning and I thought, I wonder what Tucson's doing.
Well, I thought you might. I thought that that might happen.
Gosh, it's a good thing you're here.
I know.
It's handy.
This was actually what was happening in Tucson like 3 weeks ago, but considering it's Tucson, it was still happening.
Finger on the pulse.
Time travel. Right? No, it's fine. No. Time travel.
So, because we have nothing more important to fucking discuss in this country, short of SNL and
reruns.
Whether they're reruns or not.
It was a rerun.
John McCain, whether he's a hero or not, or whether labels need to be required of whether almond milk is fake or alternative. Okay.
All right.
Okay. You ready to go with this?
I'm actually not super outraged by this.
I was so fucking irritated by this because I'm like, for real.
I'm entertained.
Lawmakers voted Wednesday. This would have been Wednesday of, February something.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
To prohibit the sale of almond milk in Arizona for the reasons that almonds do not lactate.
Don't lactate, sure. Yeah.
Valid point.
Well, consumers could still buy the product, but under the terms of House Bill 2604, which we better have.
It's an important one.
It would have to be labeled as fake milk.
Sure.
Or alternative milk.
Fake milk!
And I thought this has to be a joke, but it's not. And there would have to be...
They could also put an imitation milk product, which is what they put on Velveeta. It's an imitation cheese product.
Real.
Same. I understand.
And there would have to be a prominent statement on the package that the product is made from plants grown in a lab or other similar disclosure.
Mm, smart, yeah. Mm.
The bill would impose a similar restriction on the word meat, saying it could be used on packages for sale only if what is inside came from what once had been a living, breathing animal.
Actual meep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The measure, which gained preliminary House approval, still needs a roll call vote before going to the Arizona Senate. Because who's not going to just fucking laugh when they bring it? Representative David Cook, who's a moron from Globe, said that it is aimed at efforts to create animal cells in a laboratory that, once they prove commercially viable, could be marketed to consumers. Cook, who's a rancher, made no secret of his desire to protect his industry against those who would seek to replace something from a steer with something from a test tube.
So, as the official spokesperson for all of the people that I know that are ranchers...
Sure. I'm just going to go with all the people that I know that have dairy allergies, but go ahead.
Sure. Well, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I actually kind of understand the philosophy for this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I
do not, so I'm willing to hear this.
My father, had a dairy farm, and my grandparents still raise beef cattle, and my cousin is making a very nice living, raising beef cattle.
Those things will never go away, do you think?
Well, and they might is the problem. Like, they might, because it may be cheaper to grow a side of filet mignon than it is to actually raise a whole cow, and you'll be able to get, think of the Matrix and all the little people that are acting as batteries. Like, if we start growing our protein that way.
Didn't we do this with the sheep, Dolly?
We've cloned the sheep. Yes, right, that's different. Right. But you still raised an entire organism. So now, what's actually possible is to grow parts of an animal, right? Because we've grown ears and different pieces.
Sure.
And so it really is. It's going to change agriculture.
Okay.
Maybe for the better. Maybe for not.
Right.
But it's going to change agriculture, because what if I can only grow the filet mignon part of the cow? Right? Wouldn't that be great?
I'm not unhappy.
Right.
Right, yeah. Just kidding.
But, Delta C cattle ranchers over here are not genetic scientists, so now the family farm is no more. You know what I mean? The family farm is already kind of no more. You know what I mean? Like, we already subsidize farms, and we already, ask people to grow food that we can't really... pay them enough so that they can support their own farm. Like, the government subsidizes farms.
Right.
Or our government is a brain trust that decides we're not going to ship soybeans anywhere else.
Sure.
I know. There will be a point here. Right. So I think it's important that consumers are able to at least make that choice with the information. Like if I'm buying a turkey breast that was grown without a turkey, I want to at least know.
Right.
I probably will still buy it, because if it fucking tastes like turkey and it's cheaper, then I'm going to buy it because I love turkey.
Yeah.
And I don't like spending money.
You do love turkey. Right? That's true.
Listen.
Yeah, I know you do. Hey, I'm
anybody's
not.
Anybody's making a turkey today, I'm on my way.
Well, see, now, I think I get it.
And
I'm hearing your point.
No. You don't have to agree with it.
No, and I don't. But I'm hearing your point. Mm-hmm. It's just that I think that I would agree far more with the person who was opposed to the dude from Globe, because what she says is what I was thinking. Like, it's about being too literal, and with that because when you walk up to almond milk, it says almond milk on the outer thing. It doesn't just say milk.
Right, but when you make a regulation, you have to create a definition. So why can or can't we call this milk? Oh, because milk is bovine lactation. It's mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, cows lactate. Sure. We steal their calves.
Right.
And we, you know, continue to steal their milk.
See, look at all the milk that you
drink.
Yeah.
Then we feed their babies soy.
Sure.
Well, we steal the milk that was intended for their babies, which is a whole other thing, but I drink a lot of milk still. But you know what I mean? You have to create a line. So the fact that almonds don't lactate, so we're not actually milking almonds.
Right.
It's not the same product to do. So I mean, there has to be regulation at some point. It's a weird place to draw a line, but all right.
So and I'm just going to tell you that in that it, I would have to hear it further, because that does not still make sense to me.
It makes more sense to call it almond juice, because that's what they do.
Okay. Because Ben, Aaron's brother, has a deadly dairy allergy, mm-hmm. and he can drink almond milk.
Right, because it's not milk.
Because it's not milk, it's juice.
Not milk.
But he cannot drink on there, goat milk, almond. He can't drink cow's milk, he can't drink.
Why don't they just change it to M-Y-L-K?
They could, sure.
Milk. There's a body good.
Milk.
They absolutely could. I just think that this is one of those things that in the grand scheme to go and take away from cattle ranchers, this, that, the other. I'm dairy farmers. Yeah. I'm hearing that.
Right.
I'm hearing you there. But I think with this, that it's just, I just thought it was pushing it a little bit too far. When if it said milk on it, and like in very tiny letters, like down here at the bottom, they were trying to sell you some goods that there was something different, coconut milk, and you know, Kirsten Engel, the Democrat from Tucson, said that she wondered out loud exactly how far down the linguistic rabbit hole this would go. Consider peanut butter. Is that a misleading label? Butter comes from cows, but this is peanuts. That would seem to violate this proposed law. And I enjoyed that. I was like, yep. Her concerns went deeper, questioning how far a state can go in telling businesses what they can and cannot say on labels. And I think that if you're misleading something, if you're... But the peanut butter kind of thing, I mean, they have almond butter. There are all kinds of apple butter. So I kind of went with if you have almond milk.
So it's like so butter is the name of a specific item or product, I realize. But butter is also basically a description of something like a jam or a jelly. I mean, like,
well,
it's
when
a butter.
I think of
like,
butter, if I just think butter.
Right.
I would like to put that on my toast.
I had a great analysis and I lost it while I was trying to make a point.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that too.
It was, where the hell was it going? Know. Oh, so it's like fuck. Fuck's a verb, fuck's a noun, fuck's an act, like, it's so many different things.
Which is actually why the English language is one of the hardest languages to learn, because there's 18 words for
so
one thing.
So butter has multiple meanings, mm-hmm. right? Butter, like you said, apple butter, I don't know what all the other different butters are, but there's a lot of them.
Right.
Peanut butter, you alleged. Yeah. So, but
there's cookie dough butter.
Huh?
There is.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Well, it's if delicious. If you define butter as a like a soft, spreadable, consumable substance, then your apple butter qualifies. Your peanut butter and your apple butter, like did I don't know if I
right. But wait, where did the cookie dough butter?
Well, then you make cookie dough into that kind of consistency. Then it's describing a...
That just sounds like evening.
You have no idea. that
sounds fabulous.
But that totally went a different way than I had anticipated, but I appreciated that. I just didn't... because I'm looking at it from a standpoint of... I was just looking at it completely differently.
I will agree with you. When that stuff started, when it first came out, I didn't understand what the hell it was all about. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. So I thought it was, you know, labeling it something different would have probably made more sense to me. Later, I understood what was going on, so I figured that all out.
Right.
But I thought you were coming at this from the aspect of, don't we have better things to waste our time on?
Absolutely, I do. But when she went with that direction, then I realized that that's not necessarily...
I mean, if it's not milk, don't call it milk. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I think it's because of, and it truly is because of Ben. That the Aaron's brother, that I just look at it and I'm like, there's so many other things, because it's very exciting when we go to the store. It sounds silly, but when we go to the store and we find something that, you know, for one of the holidays, I was able to get him sour cream, right? And
it's just like really bad yogurt.
Right.
Like, I couldn't have
yogurt either.
Vile. Right. And that's but to have these different things that he
it's probably
is
soy
able,
based, yeah,
right,
no,
and it really vile.
I'll bet.
Oof. Yeah, it was really vile.
Soy's not good.
No, and it was
don't enjoy soy.
I can't. I'm trying to think of what else was in it, but it's just the idea. We see those things,
yeah,
and you know now they have the like an whipped cream,
yeah,
like the a spray whipped cream that you can get. So he's able, since forever birth, he has not been able to enjoy those things.
So the lactose that he can't tolerate?
I'm going to tell you, it's dairy. Like, if he has it, he will die. He has an EpiPen, like, he's gone into. Oh. It's awful. Yeah. We cook for him, like, we have to clean the counters. Like, you make one thing, and, like, you're scrubbing the counter for about 48 days. And I'm not saying that, like, it's a...
Never invite him to my house.
You, right.
No, but that's the hard bit.
Also, my
use,
house. Like, we basically
if you
just spray
use
the walls
one
with
spoon,
milk.
Right? You're mixing something. Mm-hmm. Well, Brenda was vegetarian for quite a while, and Mom would make different things. And at one of her first outings with that, she would use the same spoon. Right, so she'd be mixing chili over here, and then mixing Brenda's chili over here, and Brenda was like, "Can you tell her that's not the can that that's
can
not
the meat spoon
it?
Not touch
yeah,
my stuff?
Can it not?" So that though was never going to kill Brenda. That was never going to kill Brenda.
Right, it was a choice.
But if we did anything like that with Ben's,
How old is he?
He is now 30.
Oh, okay.
Well, he'll be 31.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
But it really is.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty intense. And so...
Well, how did he not die already? And the reason I ask that is, how did, like, when he was younger, what... Because
he almost died at birth, and they knew that it was based on, like, with milk stuff.
But like, was it literally from? Was he breastfed? Like, was it? Did it start like boom, like that?
I'm gonna have to tell you, I'm not sure.
I figured you should know all of these.
I read the nuances right. of it, but I do not.
No, but because my curiosity is, I don't know how they found out. Like, if he almost died as an infant or a newborn, but I'm like,
I can't remember exactly what it was. Okay. I will be on that information.
I'm just was curious how they finally figured this out.
He was in the hospital for a very long time when he was, for a decent amount of time at least, when he was born. And I don't know if it was then they gave him, you know, a formula instead of being breastfed, or if they gave him something that was milk-based. I don't know. But absolutely no dairy. Yeah.
Huh.
And it's...
Sucks to be him.
It really does. And
I can't imagine. Like, my life would just be...
Well, he took us to a vegan festival. Oh, my God. We go to this vegan festival.
There's a lot of weird people
there.
There
are a lot of people in line for mac and cheese. We're like, psst. That's not real.
I'm going to tell you how mac and cheese works.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that is
because it's a part of the deal.
Real.
You can't have
that soy tofu mac from, and bullshit.
Mm-mm. Came from anything that ever had a face or something like that. Isn't that how that works? Something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like a vegan festival.
That can't have a
no
mom
animal
or,
products. It's all got to be plant based.
Yeah. Like that. But that is one of the places that I ate. It wasn't Indian food. It was because I've had Indian food a number of times, but. I have to think of what it was. God damn, it was like so good. And it's vegetarian, but I was like, I don't care because it was like beans and this and this. Oh, and the spices that were in it were amazing.
I would be more than happy to eat vegetarian all the time if somebody would just prep it for me.
Right.
Because I am not going to all that trouble.
Yeah, you're right.
If I can find somebody to just cook for me.
Oh, just in general, I'd be, But for the prep, because again, it's so much, it is so much healthier. I have a friend who almost had to have a heart bypass and they got, they found what was going on and put him on a really strict diet and he has... literally gone. See, it's going around the table now. So you've got it, and then she'll have it later.
Oh God, that's horseshit.
But he's gone to the. As long as it doesn't have a mom, it never had a mom, and it never had a face. You can eat it.
I love that. Yeah.
So he's eliminated dairy, the cheese, all that stuff. But it's a stunt. I saw him. I hadn't seen him in about 9 months, and I didn't recognize him
because
he's dropped
weight?
So much weight.
Yeah.
And just says he feels so much better, and that occasionally he will have just a craving, and he'll have he'll go to Short Leash hot dog because he just loves their Polish the sausage or whatever the hell they make, and he's like, I pay for it. He goes, I can feel it. He goes, I can just tell. He says, but my body, he just he does his oatmeal in the morning, and he does it with whatever berries and this that or the other, and the almond milk and all the other stuff he's in. He's like, it's amazing how much better.
Well, and people have learned to because obviously you would have to to cook with almond milk and to cook one of the first
almond juice,
almond butter. I also like almond bark. Very different. But I like almond bark.
Oh, almond bark is really good.
The first time that I went for a holiday over to the Henderson's house, Aaron's family's. Mm-hmm. We got there and they were having baked potatoes.
Uh-huh.
Not baked potatoes. Mashed potatoes at the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Mashed potatoes?
I love mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And my mom makes them like shit ton of butter, shit ton of milk, shit ton of sour cream.
Yeah.
Maybe wasabi in it because that's fuck? Oh, wasabi
what
mashed
is wrong
potatoes.
With you people?
Yes.
Oh. Hello, it's delicious.
What is wrong with you people?
It's so good.
Yeah.
I don't want my face to burn off. I want mashed potatoes to be delicious.
I understand, but they're not. Oh, she makes those as well. She makes those as well. But they would make the imitation potatoes.
Yeah.
Right? The
I love instant potatoes too.
Instant potatoes, right? And it's just so, but if you're used to this, and then they tried making, and it was, I love how they come together as a family. And I got into it with trying to cook different things. The different mashed potatoes with different root vegetables. Like how you
mashed
can...
mashed turnips and rutabagas.
Well, do they do it with cauliflower? Yeah. They do the mashed potatoes with cauliflower?
Yeah. I don't enjoy that as much. I like cauliflower rice better.
I love cauliflower rice.
Mashed cauliflower is just mean.
Yeah. But if that's
it's just mean.
Anyway, but
get me all excited for mashed potatoes and then it's fucking cauliflower.
What?
Well, they make pizza crust out of cauliflower. Right. They've been doing that a lot.
I have not had that, but I've heard it's pretty good.
Actually, I'm going to grab something out of the cabinet because I'm curious to see what the ingredients are. Because my mother introduced me to it's Idahoan brand instant potatoes. Where you boil water and you pour the, and they're
the
amazing.
Flakes.
Okay.
Super good.
But I don't know if they are...
if they have milk.
Is the flavoring that gives it its buttery goodness.
Right, right.
Is that really a dairy product?
If you get
margarine, that's okay.
Oh, I put a stick in there.
I'm saying.
Margarine.
But, in reading it, if it says anything about... this was made in a factory that could contain this or... Mm-hmm. Could, just like a lot of people with severe peanut allergies, right?
Yep.
So here we are.
Here it is. What do we got?
Here, I'll give you one.
Oh, sure.
You see these?
Oh, sour cream.
I have seen
which
those
one
in
is
the
that?
Store.
Oh, buttery home style. Okay.
Style.
I was going to trade you if you got a cheesy one.
I didn't get a cheesy one.
Ingredients include Idaho potatoes, which is actually very important. No, I'll do the reading. salt, maltodextrin, vegetable oil, one or more of the following: coconut, soybean, sunflower, cottonseed, or canola.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
sour cream
milk.
Blend. Yeah. So, yep, there's dried milk in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Corn syrup solids, non-fat dry milk, more milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Sugar.
Oh, and here at the bottom, this one says contains milk soy.
Yeah. Okay. And even seeing the milk soy, we have to...
Contains milk and soy, so if you have an allergy to either of those things, you should not have.
But I love these. I'm a big proponent of the Idahoan instant potatoes. God. Since mom told me this, I boil the water, put this in there, dump a whole thing of peas in, all cooks together, we're done. That's a whole
meal.
This
is like astronaut food. This is like dehydrated potatoes.
I mean, I realize I'm going to die in eating it anyway, but it's lovely.
Well, it'll be fine.
That's what with the potato, with things like this, different things.
Here, I'll have some potatoes.
That's right. It's the same concept as me walking around for aspartame, like having to look for that, you know, when I'm walking around.
Oh,
like,
sure.
You have to pick it up and you think, well, it's not going to be in that.
I love the fact that I have to look at for anything.
Oh, I know. And again, I don't even know if that's a thing for me, but I don't want to find out again.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that again. That was weird.
No, we don't want you to go.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The bracelets were good.
Bracelets were great. I still have a couple
still
of those.
Still a fall risk.
I'm still a fall risk, but not as much because I drink less. But
Those DNR bracelets were wrong.
DNR. Wow.
Molly and I wanted to take DNR bracelets and just hand them out to people that we thought should have a DNR.
Wouldn't it be horrible if that was your initials? Like your name was
Oh my God.
Don Nicholas Reynolds.
If my mom were at one or two letters, because she's Diane Lucille, DLR instead of DNR. Oh
what God. Is DLR?
Diane Lucille Ryer.
I know, but is that something in the medical field? Like a DNR?
No, but if her middle name was Nicolette.
Yeah, exactly. Like she's very close to that. I'm like, oh my God.
Put that on a license plate, DNR.
Yeah, we thought we were so funny. We were like, we're just going to go up to people we don't like and hand them this bracelet. Here you go.
Right.
Here you go. Put that on.
Yeah.
Have this.
Just in case. Put that
or
on.
Just hand them a fall risk. And they'll be like, well, I'm not a fall. Just push them down.
Yeah, you are now. You didn't believe me.
Think fast, bitch.
I did not see that coming.
You're welcome. I'm going to take us. Oh. We're going to take it down just a little
take
bit, just for a minute here. We've had so much jocularity with that last little topic.
We can make this one funny too.
Well, no, I don't think we can make it funny. But I agree with what this says, and I think we've talked about this before. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern scored a powerful victory against terror simply by refusing to say the Christchurch attacker's name. And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Don't say their name.
We don't show their picture. We don't say their name. We don't give them any of the glory that they are wanting and seeking at all. In a speech before Parliament on Tuesday, March 19th, she said she would never speak the name of the 28-year-old Australian man charged with opening fire at two mosques and killing 50 people last week. She asked others to follow her example. Quoting her, she says, "We in New Zealand will give him nothing, not even his name." When terrorists strike, the immediate damage, deaths, injuries, destruction, isn't their ultimate goal. Their intent is far more ambitious, though intangible. They seek to cause terror, and for that, they need visibility. Visibility supports the spread of terror. Duh. And copycats, and they're like that. You know, it all goes together. It makes terrorists look more important and powerful than they are, provides a platform to their messages, and it also encourages copycats to embrace the same murderous ideals and seek similar exposure. I completely agree with this, because I just wish every news channel would adopt that and quit showing the picture of anybody who perpetrates this kind of stuff, no matter what they do. I don't care if they drive a car through something, anything, absolutely.
If they're a verbal terrorist, they keep showing Trump.
Right, get rid of him. But show the victims.
But you're right.
Show the victims, and let's talk about their lives and how good people they were, and quit glorifying, if we could just quit glorifying idiots. Like, if we get Paris Hilton off the air, which I think we majority have, like, all of the stupid people, can we just figure out how to get them out of here? But quit glorifying people who do these horrible acts to people. That's just...
Well, the BTK, I mean, if you go to serial killers, the BTK killer, right? Do you remember? I mean, that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's all he wanted, was to have a moniker. And so he started writing down BTK and loved the fact that picked up and that he's known as the BTK.
So what do you think about this? For example, obviously, we know the names of the Unabomber. We know the names of all the other people. do you think we can get away with? Because I think it's important to know the signs. Like, what are you looking for?
You're right.
So, can you easily tell the story of what happened and who the person, what they did, if you without naming them? Does that have the same effect? You're not giving them the credit for it.
Sure.
You're just saying, suspect A.
Yeah, exactly.
Lived in a shed. Mm-hmm. You know, procured all of these guns, explosives, blah, 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 and then drove a U-Haul truck.
Right.
Or do you just not?
I think we should call them all this fucking guy.
Yeah. That fucking guy and this fucking
guy. Tonight on CNN, this fucking guy blew up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, where Ananda's up there, but please show the faces of rapists to shame them. And well, I don't disagree with that at all. That's a totally different
but thing, right, but is. I agree with that because
they terrorize people, but it's different.
Right, but it's a very different thing. I think rapers should be locked up, and depending on if we're dealing with children, whole other aspect, and they usually get taken care of in prison anyway because their life expectancy is certainly not that long.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like that, yeah. Now, I do agree. If it's a suspect on the run, if we're trying to find somebody who burglarized a Circle K or something to that, yes, we need to see who they are. We got to find them, figure that out.
Sure.
But these assholes who go into a church and blow away 50 people,
right?
No.
Well, here in Arizona, quite a few years back now, we had the Baseline Killer.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Right? Who lived four blocks from me, and I don't live off of Baseline. But, you know, that you knew that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't.
If you go through my backyard, he was on Avalon.
Oh, wow.
And I'm on Cheerleader. Like, literally, we could walk through.
You.
And the last person that he killed was Carmen Miranda at the gas station. Or not gas station, I'm sorry. The
car wash
that's right there, right 29th Street, just east of 29th Street. And the way I found out was because someone said, why is Anderson Cooper on the corner of 29th Street and Thomas? Why was I at work that late? We were moving our offices. But I didn't realize that any of that had even happened. But this Baseline Killer, when they're looking for him, you put out that composite. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You put out that drawing. You know, you're looking. Go ahead and call him the Baseline Killer. Call him whatever you want so that people will register and pay attention.
I say call him this fucking
minute. But the minute that he is arrested, no, he doesn't have a name anymore.
No, we're
he
done.
Doesn't, now we're done. He's been around. He's been caught.
And I'm not saying you can't say it and be in a conversation with friends about it, but I wish the media would stop perpetrating that.
Yeah, I agree.
Once he's secured and we're done with that aspect of it.
Because it helps them relive what they've done.
And then we could say forever, well, the trial of this fucker is coming up later in the month.
That fucking guy.
This fucker just got sentenced.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I love that. You know, that. But truly, that's how they talk about people reliving that thrill.
They have to hear, yes. But it's also people have to relive if they hear the name again.
If you're the victim.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're the victim, that's a big, big deal. But for that, that's why I don't like them having
And I also go with what she's saying. And maybe we could put it in the same basket there. The people, like all these fucking priests and all who are out there doing whatever they're doing to kids in the name of the Lord and all this bullshit. Right. No, show their fucking name.
Uh-huh.
You stood up there for however many years and terrorized on a different level.
Yep.
You terrorized, you fucked up families, you fucked up people's lives.
Right.
No, I think you need to be shown.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then again, at some point, then we're just done with that. When they're sentenced, then we're done. But I think you show them because you lived in this community. I want to make sure everybody know exactly who you were.
Right. So when they walk into a different church and you're standing up there, it's not like
rings a bell.
Yeah, and it's not like, you're the messenger of the Lord, so it's okay that you're
here. If they're caught, they shouldn't be walking into other churches. They should.
Are you a passenger? Are you
messenger of the Lord?
Are you a pastor? Are you a priest?
Did she say passenger of the Lord?
A messenger of the Lord.
The wheels on the bus go round.
I said a messenger of the Lord.
Can I be a passenger of the Lord?
Because you don't know if you're
that's not how this works.
Any of it.
Can I just sit in the back seat?
Maybe.
Well, you get the biggest bounce. You get the biggest bounce in the back seat over the over speed bumps.
On the way back.
Yeah, yeah, the way back. Oh, for credit. Where are we going? Oh, it's you, Kat.
Speaking of this fucking guy.
Yeah, this fucking guy. There you go.
James Terrell Williams, 30 years old, was arrested on March 5th after accusations he was pleasuring himself in plain view of federal employees that were assisting him with his disability claim.
Oh.
This fucking guy in Florida. The case began when deputies went to the government facility for a disturbance. While there, deputies were told about a man, later identified as James Terrell Williams, 30 years old.
Nice.
At window number 4 in a neighboring hallway.
Window number 4.
You know window number 4.
Yeah. No, I'm serving.
I've been to window number 4. That's fair.
Nancy works that window. Yep. It's very nice.
Yeah. Nancy, wow, Nancy. She's such a whore.
I love people that write news articles. He was said to be pleasuring himself near a federal worker helping him with his disability claim. Now, it is uncommon for people to pleasure themselves near federal workers helping them with disability claims.
Sure, sure, sure. I would hope.
I would think that rate would be pretty low.
Yeah, I hope.
A woman identified as the victim said she saw strings to his sweatpants flying in the air. The woman stood up and reported getting a clear view of the situation.
Oh.
Which, according to the affidavit, left absolutely, positively, 100% nothing at all to the imagination.
That sounds pretty sure right there, 100%.
It does.
Seems pretty sure.
It does.
Seems pretty sure.
Yep.
Raise your hands if you're sure. Both of them, sir. I need to see both hands. Thank you very much.
Investigators said at the time that Williams was out on bond from the St. Lucie County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know. He had previously been arrested on charges of indecent exposure in public and disorderly conduct, and then obviously taken back to jail.
Sure.
It's unclear whether he got his disability claim fulfilled.
Well, he got something fulfilled.
Wow.
My favorite. It's uncommon for people to pleasure themselves near the federal workers, helping them with disability.
Typically, these things don't happen, but they can.
Dear whoever wrote this article,
thank you.
Because that out, I was like, is this just a thing that happens? I don't go down to Social Security very often. Is that a thing that happens?
Does that often? Because I need to know when, so I don't looking, go during right, that time.
Does that help you with your claim? Like, right, is that something that I should do?
So, is there an app for this?
Should I have strings? If
you're looking for a good time, go to window 4.
See Nancy.
Swipe right.
See Nancy. Yeah. Strings are flying.
Strings for Nancy.
This fucking guy.
So I just sent Mr. McKee a picture because I wanted
be
to go.
That would be me.
Yep, yeah, I wanted to go a different direction.
There's two pictures.
Oh.
There should be one.
Oh, no. My bad. It looks like two. It's
yeah,
one.
Yeah, go. Yeah.
I love this story. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Continue on.
It made me just real, real happy.
Continue on, my dear.
So... there, and I don't know where it went on here, so give me a moment.
Oh, no
for a favor. Okay, so Jenny, actually, this story is for you and Clayton. Jenny is a woman after my own heart when it comes to the cleaning of the beaches.
I keep feeling this is a calling for me.
I agree. Oh my God, you and I just need to open some kind of a... that would be awesome.
That'd be great. Go ahead.
Oh my God. So the viral internet, the headline is Viral Internet Challenge. Now, you guys have heard about the other challenges, right? The little internet challenges.
I keep forgetting
to
throw cheese at my family, yeah.
Cheese at your family?
The cheese slices? Have you
seen? I didn't see it.
You have
not? It's actually very funny. I keep forgetting to throw cheese at my family because I really want
to. So I'm not familiar with that one. But the eat the Tide Pods and snort the cinnamon.
How about the Cheerio Challenge? Do you know the Cheerio Challenge?
I don't think I do.
Well, that's another one where you just put food on your family. That's when you find a sleeping baby and see how high you can stack the Cheerios.
Oh, I've seen that.
That one's super cute, too, yeah. My mother's very offended by that one. I showed that to her last time I saw her. She's like, why would they do that to a baby?
And then back in the day, there was the ice bucket challenge that several of us did.
And there are different things with that. Some of the challenges were like...
Stupid,
but for some kind of a purpose. Whereas the snorting cinnamon that'll kill you and whatnot. But this one
is fantastic.
I love. Because this challenge is spurring people around the world. Jenny, are you ready? To pick up tons of trash... and then take photos of the difference that has been made.
The before and after.
Yep, the before and after.
All right, here we go. This and is the picture that she sent me.
So, oh my God. Wow. There is nothing that I just could stare at that.
I just.
All day.
That's bananas crazy.
That is bananas crazy. And it's beautiful and it's exciting. And it's sad as fuck that the left half of that picture even has to be.
Right.
But. Wow, look at the right side. There have
been several people online that are posting a before and after shot of them standing there amidst the garbage and then after standing in the midst of several trash bags full.
Is there a hashtag I should be looking at?
So this is, it's hashtag trash tag.
Trash tag.
Uh-huh.
Stand by.
And so there's a gentleman who has cleaned up a trash beach in Belgium. Rather than eating Tide Pods or spoonfuls of cinnamon, an eco-friendly
which can actually
new
kill you.
Social exactly
the cinnamon thing
both of them new social media trend is inspiring people around the world to clean up litter.
At trash tag 2019.
But doesn't that just the sound of that? Let me just do that again. Is inspiring people around the world to clean up litter. Oh my God, it makes me happy. Because I've mentioned when I go to the different beaches and I go to, I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And that's what Aaron goes in the ocean and I clean up the beach. Like I just sit there. I have those little clampers and a bag, and I just go. I don't care. I just don't care. It drives me nuts.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's crazy cool.
Though the hashtag trash tag challenge has reportedly been around for several years, it recently became a trending topic on Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. There are a lot of reasons that I think Twitter can be super dangerous. One of them is the president. But the other
thing... I don't follow him.
But I don't either. The fact that he even has that. But this, for something like this, I just think it's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Participants are challenged to find an outdoor area that has been littered with trash and take two photos of the scenery. One in which viewers can see the garbage and the other in which they can see the revitalized area after you have cleaned up all the trash. There's one on here. I don't know if you're able to see it on there, but within this article, there's a video, basically, of... And I just don't know. I was trying to get it to you, Clayton.
Did you send me a link to the video or to the story?
You know what? I will. That's dumb. But look at this. How it?
Oh, a time lapse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Of what they do. So I would. I do too.
I'm thinking of putting a camera in my garage just for the time lapse.
Is there a link to that video that you can just shoot me right quick?
Yeah. Let me get you that. But the impressive before and after trash tag photos. Hashtag trash tag photos have been circulating around the world from Mexico to Belgium to New York and India. The Potomac River in Washington, D.C. The initiative is being lauded as a refreshingly impactful social media trend that is encouraging people from every demographic to participate in tidying up the planet. The challenge is remarkably similar to the Stoner Cleanup Initiative, an online effort that recruited potheads to pick up the trash around their favorite outdoor smoking spots back in 2018. I hadn't heard of that one. Some people participating in the hashtag trash tag challenge have managed to tidy up roadsides simply by bringing along garbage bags on their day trips. I do that. Others have boasted the dramatic results of organizing group cleanups. Regardless, the photos are inspiring evidence of how, even though it can sometimes be a bit trashy, the internet has the ability to bring people together for the greater good. And I will, just while you guys are discussing, I will send
Nero
this to
just
you.
Sent this a link to this picture that I'm posting right now. This is a trash day in Cambodia. And look at in the back, you can see the net. Like if you look top center
great?
Of that picture, there's a net back there against a tree or something. I don't know. I'm assuming that's part of it.
Oh, Nero, that's wonderful.
But it's some, yeah, that's...
I know a guy locally here in town that recently started a not-for-profit for this very thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the Green Up Foundation.
Okay.
And they are a not-for-profit organization located here out of Phoenix, and they're focusing very locally, very much on Arizona.
Can I get in contact
Absolutely.
With him, please?
Yeah, of course.
I'd
love
to.
Yeah. Both. No, and he would love, you know, more involvement, more...
Oh, I'm
and he got, he, you know... Does outings and
I just sent you the.
Do I know him?
I don't
by
think
any
so.
Chance?
No,
that, I mean, honestly, when I changed from my my Subaru to my Nissan, mm-hmm. it's, you know, I had a whole bunch of different things in my car because, like, I'm the type of that, the survivalist almost, like, on the road. I want to make sure that we have every single thing that we could possibly need. And so I had a whole bunch of shit in my car for, like, to just in case.
Mm-hmm.
When I switched vehicles, you know, you want to, you get a new house, you want to downsize, you don't want to look like a hoarder right away.
And not right away.
So not immediately. But the one thing that I had to keep in my car was the trash bags.
Oh, yeah.
For when I'm going out, because it makes me insane when I see things. We're in New York, and I'm, oh my God, that's our New York. We're in Las Vegas. We're in New York, New York.
I confuse them all the time.
No, New York, New York.
So but, very similar.
You're at the New York, New York in Vegas. Right, right, right. Got it. Okay.
So, but
it's very convincing.
But
that
as
New York,
we're
New York.
Walking, yeah. as we're walking, I'm just like picking things up. I can't. And it's know. A relatively clean. Yeah. area of Vegas, to be honest with you, but it drives me nuts. People just let things drop. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just go nuts. I can't handle it.
But they also, in
fairness,
they know, because there is a crew that does nothing but walks that strip.
Right.
That's all they do is pick up but shit.
I sent you the link.
And said, I got
it.
Oh, okay. I have to do it through a different one to do it. Oh, and it's going to take too long.
Okay. I just didn't know.
Yours.
But yeah, so it really is. It's just something that... illegal to go there.
Oh, okay. Along train tracks and so forth.
Yeah.
Because of safety issues. And
oh,
I get
and
that.
And I see that. But I can see that. But then schedule it for when the trains are down.
Or they should have a crew that works for the rails.
Absolutely.
And
you might want to contact, if you're serious and really into it, you can contact your local municipality, and I'll bet you there's a way to get a permit or a way to organize a crew. Like, if you have a group of volunteers ready to go, and you go to whatever the
like
government
monkey.
Entity is and say, hey, like, we've got these people and we'd really love to go get the trash on the train tracks. What do we got to do? I guarantee your city council or your county supervisor, whoever the fuck is in charge over there, would be happy to help you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just Anant, I'm going to be honest with you. There are things all over the world that are just terrifying. But there are some different things that I've seen in the pictures out of India, and maybe it's just how it's presented, beautiful places, and then some other places that are definitely not, and the garbage, the amount of in the water and all of that, it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart.
It's not on the same scale by any means, but you always have to start small with something. And it's always interesting to me, because when I go to the grocery store, 9 times out of 10, I don't need a cart. I use my reusable bags when I go to the store, because I don't go and shop for full cartloads of stuff. But if I wherever I park, because I try to park away from everybody else because I don't want anybody dinging up my vehicle, and there's inevitably a stray cart somewhere. Mm-hmm. I always take a cart back. Sometimes two. Take a cart. Or if somebody is going to, hey, you want me to take a cart in for you? I take them. And they look at you like you're crazy.
Yes.
So there's that. The other thing that I will do is I will... On my street specifically, but I still ride my bike here and there. Mm-hmm. I will stop and grab an aluminum can that's been crushed on the ground, or walk down the street 100 yards and pick up something, because I know the people down at the end of the street aren't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't.
Yeah,
because it you know, maybe it's already been there 2 days or whatever, and I just go pick it up and throw it away because I'm like,
Do you ever do this? Oh, ouch! And then walk away. I do. I say that out loud just to myself. Because I'm passive aggressive. I'm from Minnesota. You're supposed to be like that.
Oh, I thought you had something. At our age, I thought maybe something was hurting.
a woman your age.
A woman my age. But no, I'm saying, like, for real. Because it's kind of like, that really hurt. That was real painful trying to pick that shit up.
Real hard to pick that up,
Yeah, that was difficult.
And I get I've gotten, I know, Allie shamed before. Though my mother is happy now with my doing this for her. I have, again, small things that just drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. It is, and I don't know how it is in everywhere else where anybody else is listening to us or getting this show, but in the city of Phoenix, you are required, if you own property or wherever you live, whatever it is, you're required to take care of to the center of an alley.
Mm-hmm.
The grass, the weeds, the trash, all that, the width of your property to the center of the alley is your responsibility.
Sure.
Ever since I've lived here, Nobody's asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. I spray weed killer, and I keep trimmed all the grass. Everything's picked up in my section.
Right.
I never once have had issues with homeless people living in the alley, people staying there.
Sure.
I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem with people dumping their trash and their crap back there because I keep it clean all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for
people
the
pay attention
for the
that.
Back of my mom's house too. Like when she moved in there, I went and I spray all the weeds in the back alley. I don't want there to be any reason to get violation from the city. I don't want there to be trash. I don't want not to be inviting to anybody else. And she has made comments before when she walks out in her alley to drop her trash in the bin. She's got the only place that's all cleaned up.
Right.
I do this for B across the way, and I've made other comments to people in our little our neighborhood, the website that all of us are, you know, the neighborhood kind of in next door, that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people make fun of me. I'm like, they bitch about alleys and they bitch about this. I'm like, well, why don't you clean it up? And I've posted pictures.
Right.
Here's how your alley should look. Mm-hmm. And they like I'm the idiot.
Right.
Like, oh, that won't help. That won't help clean up people from homeless. That won't help dumping. It's worked for me for a hell of a long time. Right.
And it won't hurt you to do it.
Right. It's your responsibility anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I don't get people. I want to create an alley cleanup day in the neighborhood. But every time I brought it up, I get kind of a
little pushback.
Yeah, like, well, that's not going to go over. Like, nobody's going to do that. Because the goal is I want everybody along. If we get one strip between first and third right here, can I just get everybody in this one to do it like one week, and then the next month we'll do that one?
But
like whatever.
Maybe you should make it like a party. Make some punch.
I don't.
Pie.
Or just punch someone.
The there'll be pie and punch.
But it's just interesting how I can't seem to get a bunch of people on board for something like that. It overall helps. The alleys are clean. And
Maybe if you pick up a case of Keystone Light, they might be.
I don't know.
Oh, it's my just God, for real.
It's not the same level. It's not the same level of what these people are doing, which is excellent. Going to beaches, sides of roads, anywhere they are, picking up all this trash. It's amazing to me.
Well, the ignorance of just dropping the trash to begin with is too much. But when you're on a beach and you're watching, and for instance, and you have people
hypothetically
that are so fucking stupid that are going out there with like bags of chips.
Glass
bottles, but we take chips out there, or we take glass. You know, we might have cans, glass bottles. Mm-hmm, we might have something, but you're going to take it. You're going to put it into something. But you're no matter what you're not going to leave it,
right?
And or just like put it underneath or put it in the little tent thing that you have, the little cover. Put it on your towel because it blows away.
Yeah.
Or the birds are like right there.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're coming up and they're just going to grab it.
Oh, they're awful.
Now they're eating the
rats
plastic.
Of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but they're eating, then they're getting hurt or putting it into the ocean. The six pack, the plastic.
For the cans.
Makes me insane.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look
think
out.
Think of the turtles.
Into absolutely. And the pictures, they show pictures and it. Oh my God, it breaks my heart when you see a little baby that's grown up.
Current story, it was a headline that was just this week. Pop it, maybe it was late last week. Whale found, and they did an autopsy, and there were 80 pounds of plastic in its stomach.
Oh my God.
And it died because of dehydration and starvation because it couldn't absorb however.
Because that shit was just sitting there.
80 pounds of plastic bags in his stomach. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And we don't, you know, people just don't stop to think. Like, what, you're at this beach to enjoy this beauty of this beach, and then you don't give a shit.
You just, the whole thing is people don't think.
Yeah. Despicable.
That was the start. That was the whole thing.
And the end, right? Yeah.
They don't.
It's true. Oh,
I love cleaning up stuff. It always makes me, I just love doing it. Like, it's clean and it's nice, and I don't get why people don't do it, but.
Yeah.
And like our canal. It's
the Grand
Canal that runs through Central Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's astounding how much stuff is in that.
I know it.
People throw all kinds of shit. TVs, shopping carts, bicycles. There's all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's startling. But that story just made me happy. I just thought that was a delight. So, the end.
Well, good.
Go ahead. Did I have one more? Did I not?
I don't know.
I did.
I thought you did.
Oh, good.
I do. One more.
It's handy.
We're going to go a little north for this one. Just our northern border.
Canadian.
May have to build a wall.
Oh.
Two Canadian brothers with, quote, no respect for law enforcement.
The Coen brothers.
And a history of bizarre stunts reportedly tried to see if they could drive the entire length of the United States into Mexico without stopping for gas, presenting identification or even putting license plates on their car. Instead, they ended up in U.S. custody after sparking a six-hour standoff, drawing a massive response from Canadian and American authorities, and shutting down a major border crossing for 12 hours.
Very dramatic.
According to an agreed statement of facts read in Canadian provincial court on Friday, this is what the CBC is reporting. The brothers, 21-year-old Bailey Roy and 22-year-old Damian Roy, were sentenced to 3 months in jail on this past Friday, with both pleading guilty to obstruction. Prosecutors dropped the charges of committing a hoax related to a terrorist activity. Quote, this was more stupid than it was criminal. Prosecutor Brian Munn said in court, according to the CBC. The pair were released on Friday, having already served their sentence time. Bailey and Damian Roy hadn't even made it out of Canada before authorities approached them at a border crossing on October 26th of 2018. The brothers had stopped their car basically in the middle of the road and froze, Munn said, according to the CBC, when they realized they were at an official border crossing. The pair, who had no GPS and planned their entire route using paper maps, reportedly intended to drive into Maine illegally by using a back road without a border crossing, but somehow they wound up on one with the largest border crossing in New Brunswick. Wow. When two Canadian Border Service agencies officers approached the brothers' vehicles, they absolutely gave no response and just stared straight ahead, Munn said in court. That was when the officers peered into the back window of the vehicle and saw 9 jugs of gasoline in the back seat, and 12 more were later found in the trunk.
What in the world?
Authorities on both sides of the border immediately shut down the border crossing, blocked all traffic from entering and leaving, and sent drones, police dogs, and officers to surround the Roy's car.
Because it looks like a bomb, dumbass.
Leading to a 6.5-hour standoff before the brothers eventually drove towards the border crossing, stopped the car, and exited out the passenger door. The brothers were arrested by U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers, and though Bailey Roy was quickly returned to a Canadian custody, Damien was detained in the U.S. for roughly 1 month because he tried to claim asylum in the U.S. Their goal was to drive without stopping for fuel. They were just going
to stop and pour it in.
Did they wear diapers?
I don't know what the rest of these fucktard
story is. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Going the astronaut?
From Phoenix to Dallas?
Houston to Florida.
Florida.
Leave it to Florida, but yeah, fucking Houston, Florida.
Yeah, was it the woman who was going to her? Yes,
because her lover, love interest was with another woman. Right?
Very busy.
Stupid people everywhere. Again, people just don't think.
Nope, you're
people
right.
just don't think.
They don't.
That's a great name for a podcast. Yeah, people don't think.
Yep.
Cat.
You know who else doesn't think?
Ah,
cows.
Well. Do they like
this out of the big city, the Big Apple, New York City, once again?
New York City.
Where's the rope?
Once again, a cow has taken over the streets of New York City. This time, running wild on the major digging.
Woo! Come on, that's not true.
Chopper 4 footage showed an extensive traffic jam Tuesday afternoon as NYPD officers tried to safely corral the cow.
We're over the inner loop. We see a bovine in lane 2. We're going to need y'all to go around that one during this rush
hour.
Black
and white?
It was captured.
Brown and white?
And tethered to a light pole on the highway median.
Oh, poor thing.
Though agitated, the animal was at one point straining aggressively against the rope before apparently being tranquilized.
Oh, the poor thing.
The runaway cow was first reported shortly before noon. A half hour later, it was still swamping traffic as about a dozen animal and law enforcement officers surrounded the creature. By 1:15 p.m., the animal had finally been put in a trailer and moved off the highway.
Moved off. You knew that was coming. Come on.
I did not see that coming.
That's like 3 things tonight you were not expecting.
I was not prepared.
No.
It's not clear where the cow came from. The rampaging cow went on its escapade less than a week after a lamb got loose. Yeah.
Cow on the lamb.
And just 2 days after a rogue goat ran amok in the Bronx.
What is going on in New York?
Both of those animals were taken to live out their days at the Mike Stura's Skylands Annual Animal Sanctuary and Rescue in New Jersey.
Yep.
Stura says the cow's coming along, too.
You said earlier in your story that you were unsure where the cow came from.
Probably bigger cows.
When two cows, love each other.
I saw that one coming.
Oh, that one you saw coming. All right, you saw that one.
Yeah,
all
two cows love each other very much and get married. So there's a surprising number of farm animal related incidents in New York.
Yeah. State. Now, where, this wasn't in Manhattan.
No, this was New York City. New York City. Yeah, NYC.
Just maybe they recently they saw the steer right outside of the.
No, there's a whole list of them in the last couple of years.
Maybe not.
A cow spent an hour strolling on I-80 in Paterson, New York. A loose bull was corralled in Brooklyn Park in October 2017. An escaped cow rampaged through Long Island in September of 2017.
Wow.
A cow made a mad dash for freedom in Queens, New York in February 2017. A loose cow made it to a Jamaica parking garage. Whore. In January 2016, and a cow escaped a Queen slaughterhouse.
There you go.
In summer of 2011. This is a problem, people.
A loose cow.
This is a problem.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia.
There you have it. Come on.
That was...
Come on.
You're usually the one who doesn't like puns.
I love puns.
Oh, you love puns.
Al can't stand my puns.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm on my way. I gotta go. I just got a very important call. I gotta...
Al can't stand my puns. God bless him. Enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of things that I found, and they kind of tie together just as far as medical stuff.
I'm concerned.
Does
it have to do with almond milk? Because we already...
No. No, no, no. We've already
done
this.
They don't have teats.
No, no, no. Leave my teats out of this.
Wow.
Moving on.
All of a sudden, we're in an adult show.
Well, we're getting older as it goes on. So I was looking through the, as far as medical marijuana and the fact that marijuana is a lot more than just THC.
Mm-hmm,
And talking about different healing compounds that are in it. And there was an article that was on that, that the federal government still insists, even though medical marijuana is legal in 33 states as of last November, the federal government still insists marijuana has no legal use and is easy to abuse.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, medical marijuana dispensaries have an increasing array of products available for pain, anxiety, sex, and more. The glass counters and their jars of products in the dispensary resemble an 18th century pharmacy. In a lot of ways, they really do. Many strains for sale have evocative and magical names like Blue Dream, Bubba, I'm going to probably say this wrong, Bubba Kush, and Chocolope.
I think that sounds right, Bubba Kush.
I like it, yeah. But what does it all mean? Are there really differences in the medical qualities of the various strains, or are the different strains with the fanciful names all just advertising gimmicks? The person who wrote this is a professor at the University of Southern California School of Pharmacy. He's lived in California a long time, remembering the Haight-Ashbury Summer of Love. While in graduate school, worked as a professor, Alexander Shulgin. Do you remember that name?
Like it was my own.
No. He's the father of designer drugs, basically. Who taught this person that chemistry, the chemistry of medicinal plants. This writer learned again. Forgive me. I think is it Chumash?
Sure.
For
European
healing from a Native American Kumash or Chumash. I'm sorry, healer. For 14 years. So there are all different kinds of things that, you know, in certain small doses, it can boost the libido.
Chumash also has a casino resort.
Good to know.
And then there are cannabinoids. Like, it goes through, it went through a very detailed kind of 85 different cannabinoids and how the oils are produced and different things that they can do. And all of that stuff is relatively inexpensive, right? I mean, like, as far as relatively, getting marijuana can be relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And there was a tie today. It was today I found this. It was earlier in March. But it talked about the 20 most expensive drugs. And these are made drugs, right? Mm-hmm. These are
like recreational or pharmaceuticals?
No. The most expensive pharmaceuticals.
Oh, no. That's fucking bananas.
It is outlandish.
And the worst part is how much that price has increased in the last 10 years.
Right. Absolutely. And especially, we're familiar. There's one of them in here that we all... I had done a story on it because it...
There's one...
It's a Martin... That Martin... Shkreli, that son of a bitch who with the Daraprim, for people, that's typically for AIDS and transplant patients.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that raised it 5,000%?
Right. You might recall in 2015, Martin Scher, I'm saying his name wrong, but who fucking cares, sparked outrage for hiking the price of Daraprim from $13.50 per pill to about $750 per pill in a matter of days. While this caused a national conversation about drug prices and class action lawsuit, the price for Daraprim still remains high, with the list price for a one-month supply, 60 tablets, coming out to $45,000. it's commonly given, as I said, to AIDS and transplant patients. Made me think of Aaron, because I'm not sure if he was on any kind of with his transplant. Because I don't remember when we talked about the story, if he had chimed in about that. But it's to prevent infection, and it's used to treat toxoplasmosis in otherwise healthy people. Unlike other drugs on this list, patients are rarely on Daraprim for more than a couple of months. But even still, right? $45,000 a month for even a couple of months? My God.
That's nuts.
So the 20 most expensive drugs, there's something called Actimmune, $52,322. And so it goes.
Is that per dose?
That is approved for osteoporosis and chronic.
Yeah, but the price is per one dose. Right.
It's for this rare disorder. The list for Actimmune is $43.60 per vial.
Hmm.
Luckily, the manufacturer has an assistance program, which never has made sense to me. If you have an assistance program to help uninsured or low-income patients get it at no cost, then why isn't it just given at no cost?
Well, because if I can get $50,000 from it... I'm just
saying, it shouldn't be $52,000 to begin
with. Right, but if I can get $50,000 out of eight people and then I give it away to two people, I still made a fuck ton of money.
Because
it cost me $3 to make.
Right. Myalept is $46,328. It's $46.33 per vial. And it's the only option to control a rare condition. And so there are no other cost-saving options available. And so this is the only way that you can go. The idea of these things that are out there, one of these is $22,070 per vial to treat a hereditary disease. And then you have something, and I'm not saying marijuana is the answer. I'm not saying that it's the only thing with the oils, and whether it's smoking or it's...
it's got a lot of viability.
It really does. And so at such a different cost, that story I had, because it made me think of Al, and Jenny has talked about things. So I thought that could be interesting. But then today I found this one, and I was like, holy shit. You know, the cost and going through, while many patients for this other Kenadol, it's used to dissolve gallstones, it's currently off patent, which means typically that manufacturers can start making affordable generics if it's off patent, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, Chenadol or Kenadol, whatever, is protected under what is referred to as a closed distribution system, which prevents manufacturers from developing their own generic versions. While many patients, by the way, this It's manufactured by Retrofen, which was founded by that fucker, Martin Shkreli. Mm-hmm. Right? That's where it went, one of the price hikes. It increased fivefold underneath him. But while many patients take 90 tablets a month, jeez, some take as many as 210 at a whopping list price of $473 per tablet. I mean, the fact that here, this can help you. It's almost mm-hmm. like you're dangling something right in front of someone. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Anyway, it just astounded me. So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was something interesting to talk about and kind of get the take of.
Yeah, one of the podcasts I listened to did a whole
and
thing
Jenny
on
is
that.
Right. So many they can get off opioids with THC, but the problem is I think so many people are turning to opioids because it gives them relief from, you know, like because it takes them.
Well, the doctors are giving it to them.
No, you're absolutely right. But I'm saying
With good reason. You right. know what I mean? A lot of times you're prescribed an opioid for traumatic injury and surgeries absolutely. And things like that.
But I'm talking about the people
interestingly
that are going
enough,
to
Grey's Anatomy addressed that this week.
Oh, and it's real. It's real.
A way to get
people
there.
Do
it really,
not.
Really happened. Yeah.
Do not say it's not real.
Those people are real.
They're real.
If I'm ever in Seattle and I get
they're
hurt,
real.
Grace Lawn Memorial Hospital is where I'm going.
I know. I have forgotten. Excuse the yawn. Are you going to do, are you doing something entertainment?
No, I got shit.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure.
You kind of do.
It's on the wheel.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's on the wheel.
Are you going to send me the link to the wheel?
Well, yeah, same link as always.
Well, no, because remember, it wouldn't update.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yeah.
All right, so she's going to do that. So then let's.
The link is coming.
I got to do this.
Break. Make a break.
That's what I'm going to do. We're going to make a break. We're going to do this. We'll be back after this with more stuff about the wheel and Kat Carlson.
What a fucking disguise this is.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.